So those of us who plant gardens or plant trees or go to the wine countries to see the vine. Today's gospel and the first reading we read today may sound very familiar to us because we read passages from the scripture that spoke about the vine, the vineyard owner, and grape seeds. But, however, if we perceive today's readings literally as a story about grape seeds and the vine, the vineyards, and the vineyard owner, we may miss the lessons of the text that we read from the prophet Isaiah and from the Gospel of Matthew today. Because the text we read, the writers of this text used a figure of speech that we call an allegory. What is an allegory? If a child is looking up to us right now and asking, Mom, what is an allegory? What is Father Kenneth talking about? What is an allegory? An allegory is a story or a writing or even a picture which, when interpreted, can reveal hidden meanings. And that is the way I will ask you to look at the text we have read. That whenever we go home, especially this week, when we feel like bored, just take up your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 5 and read that passage again. It has a lot of information to unpack. So in Isaiah chapter 5, which we read, it is typically called a love song. It is a love song of the owner of the vineyard to the vineyard. So it tells us how the owner of the vineyard cultivated the land. If you look into your missal, can you tell me how the owner did that? Who can tell me? Look into your missal. What did the owner do? How did he begin? Tell me. Feel free to talk. If you look into your missal, I want to hear what you perceive, because that will help us understand what we read today. They said the owner of the vineyard, first of all, did what? He first of all procured the land. Where was the land situated? In a hillside. Which means he did not spare any money. He went for the best. And then when he procured the land, a very choice area of the land, what did he do? He went for the best of the seeds. And then after doing that, what again did he do? He began to till the land, spading. You know, that is not an easy job, to remove all the stones. He did a very extreme hard work to get the land prepared. And after preparing the land, he planted the choice vine. And then what again did he do? He built a wall. When he built the wall, what was the intention? To stop anything that will come into the vineyard, to destroy it. So the wall becomes a protective instrument he used to protect his vine. And after building the wall, what did he do again? He built a tower. What does the tower stand for? The tower is meant to protect the vine from invaders, from marauders who will come to destroy the vine. And he even built a wine press. And he was expecting something. What was he expecting? What was he expecting by doing all these things? What was his expectation of the vine? That the vine will do what? Flourish and bring forth 100% harvest. But what was the result? Did it yield good fruits? It ended up, if you look at it from the text, it says it ended up yielding wild grapes. Those of us who are into wine business knows that wild grapes will never make a good wine. Some versions called it rotten grapes. Smelly grapes. That was what he ended up seeing. And he cried out and said, "This is not what I expected." So let us stop there then and see if the hidden meaning can be revealed. In this story, because that's exactly what applies in the gospel of today. So in this story, who is the vineyard owner? Who do you think is the vineyard owner? In the first reading, God. And then who is the vineyard? What does the vineyard represent? Israel, we sang it in the responsorial psalm, that the vineyard of the Lord is what? The house of Israel. So bringing it down to our level now, let us ask ourselves, the landowner, the vineyard owner is God, the vineyard is Israel. How did God cultivate Israel? So let us forget about tilling, taking out stones, building a tower, building a wall. In your own interpretation, what did you think that God did to cultivate Israel? Can you tell me? To make Israel fruitful. Do you remember? What did God do to make Israel fruitful? He made a covenant with them. He gave them their ancestors, whom we call the patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, David, Joseph, all to Moses, Aaron. He also gave them the scripture, the word of God, which they call the Pentateuch, so that they can read his word and understand. Then he went into a covenant with them, where they said, "You will be our God, and we shall be your people." He gave them the temple. If you read the Old Testament, we shall see the magnificence of the temple and the role the temple, you know, played in making Israel a just nation, a nation that will reflect who God is in their lives. He gave them all the rituals in the temple to help them to flourish spiritually. He even performed miracles for them by taking them out miraculously from Egypt to the promised land. All these things I'm explaining are ways that God cultivated Israel. If we are looking at the readings we have read today from that perspective, he gave them everything. He gave them all his best. But at the end, what did God find? Israel rejected God. They went after foreign gods. They started doing things that God didn't want them to do. And that was the bad harvest that we are reading about in the readings today. And when such happens, what follows is disaster. So when you listen to what the owner of the vineyard said, he said, "I will leave them. They will be trampled upon. They will be destroyed. Nothing good again will come out of them, and they will be annihilated." That is not God being angry, no. God does not become angry. He is not human. What God was explaining is what happens in the spiritual life when me and you refuse to respond to divine love in a positive way. When we say we are not accepting what you are proposing to us, God, the end result will always be disaster. We self-destruct. God is not punishing us, no. God is not being angry with us. No, our choice of not responding to his love, accepting his love, will always end up us destroying ourselves. So what we read is not just the story about ancient Israel. Because we said that the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. This story is also about us. Because when we read St. Paul's interpretation of what the church is the new Israel. Do you believe that? Do you accept that? That we are the new Israel. And so, if we are convinced that we are the new Israel, then we need to ask ourselves, how is God cultivating us now? When you think, how can you say that these are the things that God is doing to cultivate us now? What are your own thoughts about what God is doing for us to help us bear good fruit? Do you remember what God is trying to do in order to help us to become fruitful? In your own mind, what are they? Tell me. I want you to be conscious of all these things as we live our spiritual lives. He gave us Jesus Christ, isn't it? His son, which we read in the gospel today, that they killed. He gave us the church. He gave us the sacraments. All the sacraments we receive are ways God is trying to cultivate us to flourish. He gave us the prayers. We have the teachings of the church. He gave us great popes who taught us, bishops who taught us. He gave us prophets and teachers in the church. He wanted us to flourish, and that is the reason why he gave us all these things in the spiritual life. And then the question we need to ask ourselves is this. When God has given all these things for us to flourish, what is the end result? In your own mind, what do you think is the end result right now? When we look at the Pew Research, the Pew Research has polls in which they have interviewed Catholics all over the place, asking them questions. And from the results we saw, 70% of Catholics do not attend Mass anymore. In other words, they have said bye to Mass, and when they don't attend Mass, it means they are not receiving the sacraments, which is also something that is nourishing us. It also means that they are not listening to the Word of God, which is a way God is also cultivating us. And among young people also, almost like 40% of young people from Pew Research results is showing that they don't accept any religion anymore. In other words, religion is something that is gone for young people. Almost equivalent to what we read in the gospel of today, let us kill the son and we shall have everything. The reason why people are rejecting religion is that they don't want religion to guide their lives. Let us take away God, everything belongs to us. And we are looking at the results right now. The results are all everywhere. Looking at the TV news, looking at what is going on in our neighborhoods, we are seeing now that there is utter destruction. What we hear is not good news. All because people have rejected all these things that God have done for us to flourish. So let us in this Mass pray that we may understand today's gospel. So that in everything we do, we may be conscious of what God is trying to do in our lives and open ourselves to God's love. Whenever love is met with love, there is always that human flourishing and spiritual flourishing. With this in mind, let us continue with our Mass.